Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we look to the readings for this Sunday, the 29th. I want to say something here. All the readings here are about family, which is a wonderful place to have it. And I know there are many, many difficult times that families go through. I understand that. And I understand that there are just very great challenges sometimes, the illness of children or spouses or whatever the case may be. We have all kinds of problems. And yet, brothers and sisters, what I want to say to you is right in the midst of all of our problems, if we are married, the call is to create a safe, secure, happy home for the children you have and the children you raise. And for each other, husbands and wives, for each other. God wants you to know a happiness and a security, but that means dying to ourselves at times. You know, we may be used to just doing what I want to do when I come home, but our first question should be, except for unusual times, but normally our first question ought to be, what does my husband need, or what does my wife need, or what do one of my children need? And then focus on that particular day. It's wonderful if husbands and wives can pray together for their family life and for their children. I think it's very, very important. And I remember as a child, I know my mother and dad went through very difficult financial times. It was just a very, very hard time. And yet my mother and my father both held us very, very much together and promised us they would care for us and take care, so that we knew they were working very hard. We knew that it was difficult, and we supported them. And when my father opened his father's grocery store as a gas station, which was another whole episode in his life, right next to our house, the building that was there became his garage, and he fixed cars and gave gas to people. He was well-liked, and people stopped to talk to him, chat with him. I remember one night he told me the story. He was working in the garage, and we were going through, everybody was going through a hard time financially. And this man came in, and he was telling my dad he needed this or that. As my dad turned to go and get it, the guy reached over to grab something out of a bin. He just grabbed something to eat, and my father saw him. And my father just put his hand on his back, and he said to him, "You don't need to do that. Just ask me, and it's yours." Well, that became a lifelong relationship. And I remember, I think I've told you about this before, another time where a man was... A family was very, very poor and didn't have enough food. And he came into my dad's store and he said, "Could you just give me a little bit of this meat? Just a little bit, because it was Thanksgiving or something was coming up and a holiday. And could you just give me a little bit of this?" And dad said yes. And he brought it out and put it on the scale to weigh it. And then he just kept bringing out more meat. And more meat. He just kept piling it up. This man said to him, "I can't pay you. What's it cost?" He said, "Your 57 cents will cover it all." That's what I grew up with, that kind of generosity. I just want to say to all of you who are parents, you are doing a huge work for the kingdom of God. And it isn't easy. It is hard. But stay together. Stay together and care for your children. You'll never, ever be sorry. Am I teary-eyed? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's pretty easy after a stroke to give in to tears. So anyway, I'm fine. It's a book from the book of Sirach, chapter 3, verses 2 to 6 and 12 to 14. God sets a father in honor over his children, a mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, is heard. Whoever reveres his father will live a long life. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten, firmly planted against the debt of your sins, a house raised in justice to you. Brothers and sisters, look at the promises that God gives us if we are faithful to one another, husbands to wives and to our children. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a lot of money. It means the consistency of love and kindness and mercy and sharing with your older children sometimes what you're going through and asking them to pray with you, perhaps saying a prayer together every evening for needs that you have in the family. It's a very good thing to do. We can all be discouraged, we can be disheartened, but when we're in it together, we're held up by one another. I just want to encourage you in your own family life, how important it is and how God will draw near, because the responsorial psalm tells us, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Not my ways, but walk in his ways. That's why that prayer for your family. Some families say a prayer together every night, together before they go to bed. Some people have another time of the day they pray together. Maybe a time when husbands and wives pray together and then the whole family prays together at another time. But set up something in your family if you don't do that kind of thing. Think about it. Because that's the source. Jesus is the source of everything that is good. Go to him. You can go to the source. You're not cut off. No matter how poor you might be, you're not cut off from the source of all love ever. Call on him and ask him. Pray daily and ask for him. Ask him to lead you and guide you and direct you, and he will do so. God sets a father in honor over his children. Think about that. That's what you want. You want that kind of authority in your family because it preserves, it protects, it defends, and it helps you through the very difficult crises that do come. And that's why we say, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. And the second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. That's what perfection is, to love, really love one another. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what we want to do, brothers and sisters. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Avoid any bitterness toward them. You know, we have all kinds of clashes. We have difficulties. We love one another, but we see things from so many different angles. Share what you see with the other person. Let that other person listen and take heed and then say why he might see it differently than you do. But trust him. Talk it through. Never just say, yes, yes, I'll do it. Talk it through. But God wants to give you life, and he wants to give you peace, and he wants to give you joy as a family. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's take heed to the Lord's word, this great feast. Let's take heed. And from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15 and 19 to 23, when the Magi had appeared, this is Matthew chapter 2, 13 to 15, as I said, and 19 to 23. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Can you imagine how frightening that would be? Can you imagine how difficult that would be? And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And he stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He shall be called a Nazarene." Brothers and sisters, this was the life of the family of God. This is what they endured. This is what they had to contend with. But they clung to each other. They really did, brothers and sisters. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do, to cling to the Lord, to love him, to believe in him that he will help us. He can bring people into our lives, and we know people that we can trust. Ask them. Don't say, "Oh, I can't ask somebody else for help. I have to know everything, or I have to be in charge." No, the true leader is the one who does ask for good counsel from others. And that's what you want. It will help you. It will serve you. It will serve your children. It will serve your spouse. Each one of us needs help. We always do. Don't be afraid to ask for it. And we are oftentimes. We think that that humbles us in a wrong kind of way, makes us stupid or something like that. No, we have to learn from one another. If we try to do it all ourselves, that's when we get into real difficulties. So brothers and sisters, I really, really urge you to reach out when we're in difficulty, when we're challenged, to reach out and ask for help. I also wanted to share with you today, if I can, there's a wonderful, wonderful man by Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan. He is a man that was imprisoned by the Vietnamese government for 13 years. He's a cardinal, died in 2002, and this is what he said. "I cannot separate Mary and Joseph from Jesus. That would be opposed to Jesus' example, who after the Father loved Joseph and Mary the most, and in heaven he loves them eternally. No one ever reflected Jesus' life more perfectly than Mary and Joseph." Listen to that. "Mary, my mother, Joseph, my father, give me your eyes to contemplate Jesus. Give me your hearts and spirits to understand him and to be impassioned for him. Give me your will so that I may work with him with my whole heart and mind without growing weary. Give me your soul that I may endlessly proclaim Jesus, my Lord and my all." That's what God wants to do for you. He wants to draw you into his family. He wants to draw you to be one with him. Open your hearts, brothers and sisters. Lean on the Lord. Shepherd your family. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.